Good morning.
I'll just start with my disclosure statement. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Yeah. So the third National Family Health Survey, which is a nationwide survey conducted by the Government of India every 5 years, estimated that 45.9% of Indian children below the age of 3 years are underweight. In Tamil Nadu, which is a southern state, 33.2% of children under 3 are underweight. Results from weight for age data for children from 53 developing countries showed that 56% of childhood deaths were associated with the potentiating effects of malnutrition. A deficiency of micronutrients, especially iron and zinc, has been found to predispose children to frequent illness from common childhood infections. Supplementation with fortified foods has been found to be associated with a lower incidence of diarrhea and lower respiratory tract infections. A study on the dietary adequacy of preschool children in rural areas near a South Indian town showed that their diets are primarily cereal-based and are inadequate both in overall nutrient content and protective foods. So this is basically a map of Tamil Nadu, which is the state in which our study was carried out. And this is Vellore district, where the Christian Medical College is located. So a number of studies have shown that community-based nutritional rehabilitation is a cost-effective and viable option rather than inpatient therapy. And some investigators recommend that where access to functioning primary healthcare centers is available and periodic monitoring is possible, the rehabilitation phase of treatment for malnutrition should be carried out at home rather than in the hospital. RUTF, an energy-dense supplement which is based on the WHO-recommended F100, was shown to be more effective than traditional methods of nutritional supplementation in the treatment of childhood malnutrition because those are often inadequate and because they require preparation by the caregiver, they may be associated with poor compliance. So the objectives of our study, therefore, were to primarily study the effect of RUTF on anthropometric indices such as weight and height, and secondarily, compare the effect of RUTF on blood levels of zinc, vitamin B12, and markers of iron status with those of children receiving the current standard of care. This, for our study, was to teach the mothers to make a fortified cereal milk supplement, which was called HCCM, or high-calorie cereal milk. So participants were selected from 16 of 17 preschools near the Community Health and Development Hospital, a CHAD, a secondary hospital which is run by CMC Vellore. Now these preschools enroll children below school-going age living in the villages. They work on weekdays from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. and are each staffed by one teacher and one caregiver. The teacher maintains a record of the children's attendance, admission, and monthly weight and height. A coordinator from CHAD visits the schools periodically to monitor them, and the teachers are called for monthly meetings at the hospital. Now, all the preschools act in compliance with the government's midday meal program, in which each child receives a hot, nutritious meal every day at the preschool. So after obtaining scientific and ethical clearance from the Christian Medical College's research committee, we commenced with the screening, and 334 children in 16 preschools were screened, of whom 140 were found to be malnourished. The teachers were given information sheets for the parents of the children outlining the study. About a month later, these eligible malnourished children aged 18 to 60 months, their parents and the teachers were either asked to gather at the preschool or brought to CHAD, and informed consent was administered to the parent, and 118 children were recruited. So these children were randomized into one of two arms following consent. Intervention A, receiving RUTF for 3 months, and intervention B, whose mothers were taught to make a fortified cereal milk supplement or HCCM. Randomization was in blocks of 10. Out of 118 children, there were 55 boys and 63 girls. Now, the measurements taken at recruitment were weight and height. 5 milliliters of blood was drawn by venipuncture for biochemical assessment, namely serum albumin, plasma zinc, vitamin B12, and assessment of iron status. After recruitment, there were 2 monthly follow-ups in which the anthropometric measurements were repeated. At the end of the 3rd month, we carried out the final follow-up in which all anthropometric measurements and blood tests were repeated. The RUTF was produced weekly under supervision at a local bakery and distributed to the preschools in 250-gram bags every week. The chi-square test was performed for dichotomous outcomes and one-way ANOVA anti-test for continuous outcomes. Now, coming to the results of the study, we found that the overall number of children not underweight was significantly larger in the RUTF group. So, in the RUTF group, after the 1st month of the intervention, growth seemed to stabilize and overall weight gain was not significantly different. Now, previous studies have shown that RUTF is associated with a shorter period of rehabilitation. So this is in turn associated with decreased morbidity during that period. Now, even though overall weight gain appears to be not significantly different, the rate of weight gain is important in assessing the effectiveness of the intervention. Now, we see also that serum albumin had significantly increased in both groups. This is a marker of protein energy malnutrition. So, these graphs show the weight for age status for children in both groups at the beginning and at the end of the study. Now, on the x-axis are the weight for age z-score categories. From left to right, they are minus 1 to 2 to minus 2, which is within the normal range. Minus 2 to minus 3, which is mild to moderate malnutrition, and minus 3 and below is severely malnourished. So with an improvement in weight for age status, we would expect the green graph to shift to the left, which is what we see in intervention A. So the number of children in the RUTF group who are not malnourished at the end of the study is significantly larger than the number of children in intervention B. Now, vitamin B12 had increased significantly only in the RUTF group. These are the significant changes in the red cell indices. And one interesting thing is the significant decrease in plasma zinc in both groups. Now, this is possibly due to nutrient-nutrient interactions, since both RUTF and HCCM are high in calcium. Now, this may result in the decreased absorption of other minerals that are absorbed competitively. And RUTF may not be an ideal vehicle for correcting other mineral deficiencies that might have to be dealt with by additional supplementation. Now, current therapy using fortified milk-based supplements may be implemented for outpatient therapy in less severe forms. So the community-based treatment of acute malnutrition has been previously shown to be both effective and economical. And RUTF seems to be an ideal tool, which was well accepted by most children in the study and has been shown to have significant benefit. The involvement of the preschool teachers in the means of delivery of the supplement also appears to have been effective. Now, the supplement can be produced locally with locally available ingredients. And while it may be expensive for the population that needs it the most, costs may be reduced by its production in bulk. Each batch that we manufactured was found to have a shelf life of 3 weeks, and by the involvement of self-help groups in its manufacture. Now, in the long term, costs may also be potentially offset by decreased medical spending on malnutrition-related illnesses. Thank you.
Speakers have been particularly efficient today, which gives us a nice amount of time for question and answer. I also like to mention that about a year and a half ago, I led an evaluation of the decentralized food models in three of the states in India for the Supplementary Nutrition Program, which is the largest in the world. And these self-help groups that you mentioned, the women working, making their own food, where the focus of this, it's quite an interesting study, which is going to be presented at 8:30 on Wednesday morning, but also anybody who's interested in, I could just send you a copy of the complete study if you give me an email or a business card. So we've had four very complimentary and interesting presentations. Jennifer on children and malnutrition in Haiti, a problem that's been there for generations since I first began working in public health internationally 30 years ago. Alberto and the problem of obesity in a more advanced and wealthy developing country, showing what's happening in affluent countries. Monica and some global macro statistics on the MDGs and nutrition and malnutrition, and finally Azura's presentation on therapeutic ready-to-use foods in India. I'm just going to open the floor for questions, and then people can come up, the speakers can come up and answer them, or comments.
Your question. That's actually a very important point, because what we see is most traditional supplements aiming at nutritional rehabilitation do have to be made by the caregiver. Now, potentially, that would foster poorer compliance than something that is already prepared. And that is actually one of the reasons why an RUTF is so relevant to an Indian setting. Because when the manufacture of a home-based treatment would actually involve resources, including time away from work, and the overall outcome, because of that, may not be as good, if you know what I mean.
The Micronutrients Initiative was discussing this when I was in India, and they felt, though they didn't have a specific product yet at the time, that it was quite possible to make things, and there was less likely to be corruption in the system if it was done in this, through these self-help groups that Azra was talking about. Other questions or comments?
I had a comment.
Sure.
This is just my experience working in India, and I'm from India. I think one of the other reasons for having this RUTF kind of thing is that these are programs are really targeted to people who are very poor and the children are malnourished. And if we go by the philosophy that let the caregivers prepare it, Azara mentioned that, you know, it takes time away from the caregiver. It also is because of the levels of poverty, they might not be able to buy those nutritious food to prepare things to give it at home. So might be these programs work a little bit better. That's just my observation.
Another observation, which maybe most of you in this room know, is that a surprising fact is that malnutrition for children in India and other parts of South Asia, is much higher than for sub-Saharan Africa, despite the other differences. And there are several factors that are linked to this, but one is the status of women, which was interesting because we were listening to that in the first presentation on Haiti. Yes.
I have a question.
That's a very important point. This is a study that we just started, and we are trying to evaluate different simulations. We started with just looking at, you know, just with the increase in income, what it happens. And then the further what we are planning to do is that when we include all the other regions, we are going to include the population growth. And also in Africa, for example, and for the purpose of this paper, we have included the overall GDP. But when we do it at the regional and national levels, we will also have to separate the oil producing and oil importing and oil exporting countries and go much detail as to how we evaluate the economic growth. And of course, we will include all the social indicators as well.
Okay, so the question is whether I accounted for HIV status. No, I didn't. And there were only, so the sample size was 1,600 mother-child dyads. HIV prevalence, although in the 1990s it's been up to 7% in Haiti, it's now 2.2%. And among these women, that's about what I saw, so it wasn't a factor that I could look at. But that is an important point at the national level, definitely.
Other questions, comments? Yes. Congratulations for bringing some younger presenters in. We're always striving to do that in international health and figuring out how we can make it happen. Any other questions? Anyone want to share some similar experience with us since we have a little time? I guess your audience is very well informed. And has time for coffee now. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
I didn't know you were at Tulane.
I am adjunct faculty, but I teach two courses
Which
there.
Which department?
The International Health Department.
What courses do you teach?
I teach a course called The Other Drug War and another course on health. Thank you very much. Yes. Jennifer, I'm very sorry. I found your description in my... I was not well prepared. Thank you very much. Thank you both. So I hope to see you at Tulane. I'll be there in January to teach for a little bit.
great. I'm in the department. I've never.
Which department are you in?
I was in an interdisciplinary PhD program in the graduate school, but after degree, now I have been moved to international.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
no, I'm going to try to sit on tonight.
Oh, you're coming to the Chennai reception?
I hope so. Yeah, I
great.
Hope so.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. Do you have a card?
Unfortunately, my luggage was gone.
Okay. Well, also, if you want to, you might be interested in my study.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Can I have your question? Okay.
Thank you. congratulations. I'm sorry that the schedule got ahead of me. I came to hear exactly what you were saying. I heard you say thank you very much to sit down. So I'll see you today.
I couldn't compare it. Did you see that first?
Yeah, I did.
Thank you.
So you do not apply, you end up actually spacing the premises. These are all embedded sites where you have good experience with the community. Whether you're Africa, Asia, South America, we think is a less important aspect. Obviously, it's what you really like this response to do. But you have to convert the records around and as fast as people that have them to get. So we see that you, like many of the records, you can everything that you think you know to go to. You already have to go. You've never heard of anything that you wouldn't go to with thought. So then, that's all revealed in March. And urban cells and study lab, first of all, you know, the place is why, where you're matching person to where you are, and then you actually end up at your site in what's first. And you're here, you're here for both of you, and you say 10 months, 10 plus months.
Hi. I missed your, I'm sorry.
I'm doing it for a young man.
they told us down there, because I thought Chris had sent it, but he said, oh no, because I got more data. And I said, okay. And then I just happened to be talking to the guy because I came in to do it, and he said, oh no, it won't upload today. And then I left and came back, and I said, well, can you do it in the room? And he said, oh, sure.
Oh.
Click on the double. Now we'll see.
Yeah.